guys, and welcome back for another episode of the Social Hour Podcast, a podcast for sewists by sewists. I'm your host, Ashley.
And I'm your host, Bethany. And on today's episode, it is our last episode of 2023.
Yes,
Can you believe it? Time to say goodbye. Here we are. And today's episode is all about setting our sewing goals for 2024. We did this kind of episode last year. It was ended up being our first episode of 2023 that we did it. And it was truly one of our most popular episodes.
Mm-hmm. People loved it.
Oh, and the feedback that we've gotten all year long from that episode was like astonishing, and just how helpful it was. People say, oh, I make goals for like my job or my business or my career or whatever, but I've never sat down and made goals for like my hobby. Right. Mm-hmm. Like, or, you know, or maybe they started a sewing business. I never thought to sit down and make goals. So it really had a big impact on people. So we thought, let's do it again.
Yeah, for sure. And it was good for us to keep us kind of accountable.
Right. And then 6 months into the year in June, we did a 6 month goal review, because something that Ashley and I realize is in January, when we set our goals for 2023, we had no idea what was coming for us and how way off our vision of the year was.
Yeah.
I mean, everything changed, and for the better, obviously, but like it really shifted our priorities. It changed our goals. It made some just not even be realistic anymore because we started doing pattern making school. So everything really shifted for us. So in June, we did a 6 month goal review, and we basically wrote we wrote new goals for the last 6 months of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been a roller coaster of a year, but for all good reasons, with our sewing. I mean, we've grown and done way more this year than we ever thought we would. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, for sure.
So one thing that we did last year is we went through 10 New Year sewing goal planning questions. And I thought it would be fun for us to go through and answer these questions again. These questions help you prioritize and think about what you want to learn, why you want to learn it, how you want to learn it, any obstacles you might face, things that you might need to do to get to those goals. It kind of gets your mind thinking about setting goals. And then after you answer these 10 questions, I think you'll have more clarity of like where your priorities are and what your heart is telling you really want to do. And then you can write your 5 goals for the next year. I say do 5. Maybe you only do 3. That's fine. Maybe you have more than 5, but I think 5 is a good number for sewing goals.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so, because life still gets in the way. So we still have goals in our personal lives and our jobs and stuff.
Yeah. So Ashley and I each wrote new goals for 2024. And then we also this time wrote some goals for the podcast as well, because we're still here. We're still kicking. We're like a year and a half almost into doing this, which is insane. We have not skipped a single, we have not taken a single week off since we started this podcast. So this is episode 68. And the last time we did the goal setting podcast at the beginning of January, that was episode 17. Like I know we all know how many weeks there are in a year, but it's like, when you look at it that way, you're like, that feels a long time ago. But then it's like, gosh, that's a lot of episodes. That's a lot of talking about sewing, and we're not even done yet. So, all right. So before we dive into our goal setting, because that's what we're all here to do, we do have a surprise for you. At the very end of this podcast, we are going to be announcing a giveaway. It is a partnership with one of our previous guests that we had this year, who we love and adore and is doing amazing things. And so she is going to be giving away something very special to one of our listeners. But you need to know how to enter the giveaway, and we need to tell you what it is. But we're going to do that at the end after we've set our goals. It's like our little reward for working so hard to set our goals. And we're going to wrap up 2023 with this fun giveaway and then get ready to start 2024 and all the great things. So let's dive into goals. Anyways, I'm really proud of us. And so even if we didn't hit all of our goals for the year, at the end of the day, it's just to help you give perspective and priority to the things that are important to you. So if sewing is important to you, it's probably because mm-hmm. you're listening to our podcast to begin with, and you want to take some time to make some goals. Mm-hmm. Nobody is holding you to these goals other than yourself, but I do highly recommend, if you're serious about them, that you have an accountability partner that holds you accountable as well. Yeah. And that's Ashley and I do that for each other as best we can. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're going to talk about some ways that you can hold yourself accountable as well. So let's dive in with the questions, and we'll answer these really quick. But if you are listening, I highly encourage you to take a second, maybe hit pause if you need to, get a pen and paper. And as we ask these questions, I want you to write down your answer. Don't let our answers influence you if you can avoid. So if you want to listen to the question and then pause, write down your answer, and then listen to what Ashley and I said as ours, you can. But I want you to have a really unbiased response to these as we go through them, because Ashley and I did not answer these together. We did it on our own time, and I haven't read her answers yet. So we're going to share these with each other for the first time too. So the first question is, what's the one thing you are super proud of that you accomplished this past year? And what is one thing that you learned this past year? So I love that these questions start out with, let's celebrate the wins and the growth, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So what is something that you accomplished this year, Ashley? And what is something that you learned?
I can't say that I've accomplished anything like that you could be like, this is what.
Am I lying? BS.
Am I lying?
Yes. What is your biggest lying. Accomplishment this year?
I hit 100,000 on my YouTube channel.
That's and a I got big my thing plaque. To celebrate. That is
I huge. Forgot. Yeah, that was a huge thing.
That is a very huge thing. I was like, what is she talking about? She didn't accomplish anything. She's pulling my leg. What is something that you learned?
Well, I never thought that I would be in a pattern drafting class. So, I mean, the amount of learning that I've done this year, I think, is the most learning I've done since I was in college.
Yep.
Like, it's just, and I constantly learn. I'm always, like, researching and just, like, you know, just teaching myself. But this is just a whole nother level.
Yeah. Well, it's just, yeah, we're accessing parts of our brain that were, like, a little dusty, right?
So I'm really proud of how that's been going, but I know that, like, the learning, it's just the tip of the iceberg. So 2024 is still going to be a very intense learning year for me.
Right.
I'm excited about it. I'm passionate about it. I really love it. I never thought that I would, but I super geek out over, like, the grading and the slopers and the design. It's just, I don't know. I don't know if I necessarily love choosing the clothing, but I do love designing what someone shows me.
Mm-hmm. And I like the designing part. So you and I continue to make a really good, like,
we really do.
So for me, I would say I accomplished two things. I released my first pattern, my first sewing mm-hmm. pattern. So I'm really proud of that. But while we were sitting here talking, I was like, I can't believe I didn't write this down, but it's true. I accomplished planning and hosting my first sewing retreat.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a lot of work, and I'm really proud of it. And it makes me want to do so much more of that. Because of it, I started a local sewing club called the Music City Stitchers Club in Nashville. So, you know, I feel like I've accomplished quite a bit, but, I mean, I couldn't have done any of it without, like, none of that was accomplished by myself. You know what I mean? It was accomplished because I had the help and support of those around me that I surround myself with people who are also driven and motivated and passionate about the same things, like you and Diana and Amy and my friend Jennifer. Like, she's the one that helps me so much with this Music City Stitchers Club. Like, I couldn't do it all by myself, mm-hmm. you know, but
it's village.
It does. But it's like, okay, well, I knew I wanted to make that skirt. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it starts with me, but it's a team effort. It takes a village. I knew I wanted to do the retreat, but it was a team effort to get there. I knew I wanted to start a sewing club, but then Jennifer helped tremendously and continues to every month. So again, it's all about getting the support to get to those, make those things mm-hmm. happen. I would say my biggest learning is the same as yours, the pattern making, pattern drafting. I'm still learning. I don't, mm-hmm. sometimes I feel like I'm never going to know all of it.
No.
And that's fine. I'm as long as I continue to grow, that's my biggest thing. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Okay. Question number two, how has your view of sewing changed this year? How so?
I said that my view of sewing has changed as now I'm like deconstructing garments as people walk past me now. I'm like looking at everybody's clothes now, and they're probably like thinking that I'm a super like weird creeper, but I'm just like, how?
Is that my favorite? I'm going to call you out. My favorite is she's sitting at like her kids' after school, like Muay Thai activity, sending me pictures of this girl's jacket from behind, not her face or anything, but it's just like, look at the construction of this jacket. I love these angles. We should make that. And it's like,
yeah,
but I love that. Like, that's where your brain's at. And that's like, you do it in a very tactful way, but we all like, once you start sewing, you look at things differently.
Mm-hmm. Your eye changes.
I can't go into a clothing. First of all, I don't go into clothing stores very often anymore. But when I do, I no longer just go, oh, that's cute, or, you know, and kind of look at it. I like turn that sucker inside out. I'm like, how did I construct that? Like,
yeah,
it's now like a challenge to me.
Yeah.
So I would say that that's pretty spot on. But yeah, Ashley's known to take some pictures of strangers who are wearing cute clothes. It's a
they censor their faces, so
yes,
I'm not super creepy. And I know some of you people who are listening right now do the same thing, so don't even.
Yes.
Don't judge me.
That's too funny. I would say for me, it's been the year of learning and community. So mm-hmm. I've mm-hmm. tried new things to grow like my sewing skills. I'm doing more embroidery work because we have new embroidery machine at work that I'm using. Mm. I got my first industrial machine, so I'm trying bag making. I created my first sewing pattern for garments. I feel like I've also like really leaned into growing like the connection with my sewing community, as we were talking about, not just in person with the Stitchers Club, but like also online.
Yeah.
You know, holding that sewing retreat really just filled my cup with so much joy that I knew I needed to keep that going, and I couldn't afford to do a retreat every month. I don't have that kind of PTO, budget, but I knew I could still get that joy and mm-hmm. fill that cup with doing something with my local community. And so we've been doing those meetups every month, once a month, since August. And we had our sewing retreat in June. If that tells you how much I knew I needed that continued in my life. So for me, my focus or my view of sewing has become less inward and more outward.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been so rewarding for sure. All right. What's question number three, Ashley?
Question number three is, what are your top three sewing skills you want to work on for this year?
Okay, so now we're starting to get into the nitty-gritty of thinking about what our goals are going to be focused around. So what are your top three sewing skills that you want to
last year? It was shearing my ruffle foot, and then sewing woven garments. And I definitely have been doing woven garments
because mm-hmm.
I'm designing a woven pattern right now.
Yes.
I never did end up shearing, so shearing, I'll put that back on the list. And I never did end up using my ruffler, so I'll put that back on the list.
And I can help you with both of those. So yeah. We'll talk about how we can hold each other accountable to those later.
Yeah.
So what else are you going to add for this year then? For sewing skill that you want to add? Since you did the wovens, you've kind of met like doing that.
Well, that's the thing, is that the skills that I want to learn is just like, you know, like maybe draping or
put that on there then.
Making new patterns. Because that's part of sewing.
Yeah. Absolutely. Honestly, my favorite way to, like, I know we were taught in our class earlier this year to design in Adobe Illustrator, mm-hmm. but my brain and how I was taught in school and how my brain kind of works is I like to hands-on design, like through mm-hmm. draping first, and then I can take those measurements and put them into Adobe Illustrator. But taking it from flat to you know, 2D to 3D is harder for me than taking it from 3D to 2D. I think you would really enjoy learning draping.
Yeah, probably. I'm a very visual person, very mm-hmm. hands-on.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
But we will see.
So for 2023, I put down quilting, sewing, woven fabric garments because I was more comfortable with knits, and then master mm-hmm. my projector for sewing. I would say I've done quite a bit of quilting because of my job, and I did some wall hangings this year, and I've taught several quilting classes for Michaels this year and for work. So I would say I'm definitely more comfortable with quilting. I have sewn some woven garments. I even sewed one with satin, like slippery satin with like all these darts, and it was a full ball gown. So I would say that I'm definitely more comfortable with wovens than I was at the beginning of this year. Mm-hmm. And I would also say that I've mastered my projector, my personal projector. I have honed that sucker in, and it is my BFF. So nice. I would say I've done a pretty good job with my sewing goals for this year of things I wanted to kind of get more comfortable with. For me, for this year, I want to get more comfortable with bag making and utilizing my industrial machine. Mm-hmm. I want to overcome my fear of sewing swimsuits. Like, it's every time I sit down to do it, I quit and give up. I don't know what it is about swimsuits, swimsuit fabric, and sewing elastic with us that material, but I loathe it and I want to do it so bad. But I feel like it. Everybody makes it look so easy. Why am I struggling? I really just need a swimsuit class. And then coats. I really do want to accomplish some really big coats, and I have all the material. Clearly, I want to do this because I have more material to make coats than there are days in the winter in the South. But yet, I haven't made any. Mm-hmm. It's a problem. So those are my big things that I really want to focus on. Bag making, swimwear, and coats. And I know that that is all over the place. That's where I'm
at. Okay.
All over the place.
Those are skill testing garments for sure.
Yes.
And like no two coats are the same. And know what I mean? So it's like you're going to learn how to make one coat, but that doesn't mean that you know how to make all the coats.
Well, I did the quilted coat.
Yeah.
But I didn't add the collar to that one because I just didn't have enough of the quilt. But this mm-hmm. next one that I'm cutting up and making, hopefully for my aunt for Christmas, I'm going to do the collar and I'm going to lengthen it. So I'm like, okay, well, I've made this once, so I know I can make this again, and I'm going to add the collar. And I'm growing that way. But I have like, for me, it's not so much the sewing part of it. It's working with the materials that I want to work with. Maybe I should define that better, because I have a faux camel that's really thick, and I have this puffy, slippery, like, I don't even know what you call, like, puffy coat material that I've showed you before that I want to use. I have Sherpas that I want to use. Like, so I have, but I want to make them lined. And so that's where it gets complicated, and I just kind of shut down. So I just need to do it.
Yeah.
I just need to do it. All right. Number four, what are three ways your routine can support your sewing goals? So when I thought about this question, I thought, what are three ways my routine might need to adjust in order mm-hmm. for me to reach my sewing goals?
Yeah. Three is a lot.
Yeah. Do you want me to go mm-hmm. first?
Yeah.
Okay. So for me, I put, I need to really focus on planning out my projects and even like bulk cutting to be more efficient when the time or mood for sewing strikes. So if I have my projector on and my light's dimmed and I'm cutting out one pattern, but I know I want to sew up three more other things, I should go mm-hmm. ahead and cut those out at the same time. Mm-hmm. and set them aside, put them in bags, mark them, set them aside. So when mm-hmm. I'm ready to sew and I only have a few minutes, I don't have to spend it cutting. I can actually spend it sewing. I also, I've been working on this year already, but more organization in my sewing studio and my sewing room. I did a lot of purging this year of stuff. I know I passed a lot of material on to you, which was a huge help. But that doesn't mean that I haven't just brought a ton more in. but I do need to, you know, work on adding more shelving. So one of the things I asked for Christmas was to get more shelving in here because I have all these vintage machines. So I would really like to display them and get them off the floor. So it's just getting control of my space. And I think that's really important. And then for me, I also really function off of my calendar on my phone. And I need to prioritize and block time to sew for myself. And I need to honor and respect that blocked time. Because next thing you know, I'm like, oh, well, I'll just do this. I'll just clean instead. And then it'll give me time later, but then I'm too tired to do it later. I need to honor that. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. I need to respect my time when I set
it. Well, it's self-care.
Yeah.
Right. And everybody deserves self-care. And if we choose, instead of going to the spa, that we just want to quietly sew with some nice music playing and a candle lit.
My audiobook. And I'm happy. Yep. I'm happy. Mm-hmm. All right. Exactly. What about you? What are some things or adjustments that you want to make to your routine to help you stay on top of your sewing goals?
Well, I'll tell you that the batch cutting out, I definitely need to do some of that.
Yeah.
And I did that yesterday, actually. I cut out like 6 different things and now they're just sitting there waiting for me to just sit down. Yeah. That's all I need to do is just.
Even if it's just quick sew things, like I'm always like, oh, I really need to make more pajamas and I have material to do so. Mm-hmm. I just need to cut them out. So when I have an hour and I'm like, I need to decompress. I just had a really stressful work day and I just need to decompress. For me, that is like sewing a pair of pajamas because I don't even have to look at the instructions. It's doom, 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 doom. But if I could just, but then I have to, if I have to make the decision of, well, which fabric, and then I get to find the pattern and no, I just want to be able to grab.
Right. So. Yeah. So all that stuff though can be done like in front of the TV, you know, looking through the patterns, even just like pulling up the Adobe and just having them all tabbed so that you can
ready to project
your laptop or tablet. And then all you have to do is just click on the tabs and project. You know what I mean?
Cut. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So definitely want to do that more.
Mm-hmm. And then I bag them. I bag the pieces and then I put a post-it inside the bag with the pieces. So I know which pattern, which options I chose.
Yeah.
Pockets, notebook, you know, those kind of things. That, and, you know, the pattern was size. So if I got confused or if it's been 6 months since I cut it out, which can and has happened to me before, then I can go, oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That way I know I can reference back to
it. I put masking tape labeled on every single piece so that I know. Even like some fabrics where I need to know which one's the right or wrong side because sometimes you can't tell.
Yeah.
But a piece of tape, the masking tape, the size. Everything.
Yeah.
Right on it.
Anything else that you want to adjust for your routine?
I need to grant myself patience. I'm always, if it's not done, then I don't want to do it kind of person. I'm always learning things are a process. And although the excitement of getting projects done, you know, quickly, that I really need to allow my time to, you know, work on the projects.
Yeah.
And know that the level of excitement will still happen at the end of the project, even though it might have taken me like a month.
Well, you also have to remember that the level of the project is going up. The skill and the challenge of the project is getting harder because you're challenging yourself and you're learning and you have to give yourself more time. It's not going to be like sewing up the same pair of leggings every single time that you could do in your sleep. You're growing your skills. Like I know that it's going to take me way longer to sew a coat than a new set of pajamas or pajama pants or loungewear, you know? So, you know, that's the other part of it. I'm also like you, like if I sit down to sew something, I want to finish it in that same setting.
Yeah.
I don't want it to take 3 days for me to put something together.
I know.
That's how I end up staying up till 2 or 3 in the morning to finish it.
But that's where that batch sewing comes into play, though, because then, like, yeah, you are more likely to actually finish that garment if you didn't have to cut it out that day.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anything else?
No.
That's kind of it. Okay. That's great. All right. So number 5, the question is, what adjustments that are in your control do you think would help you achieve your sewing goals? So for me, I put posting my goals in my sewing room so they are visible to me every single day as a reminder. I did not do that this year. And I think it was, you know, it's the saying, out of sight, out of mind. And it's true. I also need to share them with my accountability partners. And I also want to take that a step further, Ashley, and I didn't talk to you about this before, but we're going to do it, is schedule a monthly check-in, that you and I sit down and go, okay, what have we done this month to work towards our goals? And that'll make more sense when we share our goals, because her and I both have goals, monthly goals for ourselves and yeah, that we want to do. So it will help us hold each other account. Like, hey, okay, if you want to do X, Y, Z every month, what are you doing? What are you working on right now? Are you planning that? Is it going to launch by then? Like, you know, those kind of things. So I think one thing we could do better for each other this year is not just saying, oh, these are my goals, but like checking in on a monthly basis. So get a buddy, your best friend, your partner, your spouse, whoever, someone online. It doesn't have to be someone that you see every day, and say, hey, like, I want you to help hold me accountable to these, because I do take these goals very seriously. So for me, that's a big part of it. What about for you, Ashley? What are some things that you can control to help you reach your goals?
Well, I definitely agree with maybe a vision board or posting on the wall. But I think that I have learned that my productivity really is in the morning. So I need to not waste the morning away. And as soon as the kids are out on the bus off to school, I need to like strike while the iron's hot and start doing stuff immediately. Mm-hmm. Because as the day goes, like, I'm getting older now. Okay. We're getting to the big 4-0. You start to just win like your energy level. And then by the time it's like 2 o'clock, you're like,
you hit the wall.
I'm just going to go relax. The kids are going to be home soon, you know? So,
and when the kids come home, it's like homework time and dinner time.
It's over.
And get them ready for bed. And it's like, so I think that's great if you say, okay, because I also, one thing that you've done this year is like, you take them to the bus stop, you take your dog on a walk. So going for that walk is like getting your blood circulation and flowing. So that boosts your energy in the morning. You're eating breakfast, you come in and you can hit the ground running. I think for me, I have to make a new, this is hard. And I'm not the only one that does it. So I'll say it. I am ashamed, but it is what it is. I spend way too much time on my phone scrolling social media that is not working towards my productivity or my goals. And I do use it as like a mental decompressor sometimes, but it's amazing how 30 minutes can go by so quickly.
Oh my God.
It just, you're scrolling reels and videos and whatnot. And I'm very responsive to notifications because I can't stand having them build up on my phone, because then it gets overwhelming and I don't want to look at them. So I try to keep checking in and responding to notifications as they come in. And because of that, it puts me on my phone more than I should be.
Yeah.
And it's easy for me to get sucked back in. So what I need to do is be like, no, this is work time. Or like I said, block my schedule. It's like, this is not look at my phone time. But a lot of times I'm using my phone to film my work or whatever.
Right.
So hard.
It is.
So hard. And the reels are so funny.
Did you see my reel that I just posted with I did a response video, and it was with a girl named Patricia, and her handle is So Sanity, I think, right? Mm-hmm. And she said, like, what are your 5 worst sewing habits? And she's like got her pins in her mouth, like things that like,
yeah.
And then my 5 are basically me all over my sewing room scrolling through reels, because I'm like, I'm at my sewing machine and I'm scrolling through reels, and I'm at my cutting table and I'm scrolling like, or I'm like responding to like, oh God, like that's my habit. Like, how much more productive I would be.
Oh, I know. I know.
Like, I think I need to say, like, okay, this is, you know, I'm doing this. No phone. No nothing. Leave it outside the room.
And it's funny because, like, me, you, and Diana have, like, a group chat on Instagram. And we talk all day throughout the day. But you can tell when one of us has gotten, like, derailed because we send, like, 10 reels back to back. And it's like, oh, someone's off in, like, la-la land right now and not being productive. And it's like, I'm sorry. You know?
You're trying to make me unproductive because now I got to watch them.
I know. I know. So we're instigating the problem. And the reality is all of our algorithms are basically the same now because they send each other the same reels. But yeah, time management, man, it's like the never ending beast. And I feel like growing up, they kind of like, was like time management, especially in the corporate world, time management, you know, and all this crap. And it's like, do I ever actually accomplish that? Like, is that even an attainable thing? Like, time, is anybody ever perfectly managing their time 100%? No. So I feel like I'm beating myself up over here for something that I can't ever 100% achieve. And that's not fair. So again, give myself some grace. But holy cow.
I think the message these days, though, is really like, take mental breaks. Like, I feel like time management isn't as a big focus these days.
You know what it is, though? The thing for me and the biggest learning thing that I've, the big aha moment, I guess I could say for me this year is rest is productive.
For sure.
I never thought of rest as productive until this year. I thought it was me being a lazy waste of time.
Well, that's I think our boomer mentality, you know, from our parents.
That's what I grew up with, right? Yeah, like, exactly, it's like you got to do all the things and you got to do it perfect and you got to like sacrifice yourself and everything to do all these things. And that's why I have such a great work ethic, but at what cost, you know? And so now here I am approaching 40 and I'm going, I'm exhausted.
I know.
And I just want to rest. And I'm like, I don't know how. It's sad, but it's true. And I know there's a lot of people that can relate to that.
I was raised by a workaholic. So
I was raised by an entrepreneur.
It makes me feel very lazy when I compare myself to him because he worked 30 years in a factory and then bought a business and is still
retired and bought a business
at 68 years old. And I'm just like, yeah, Dad, you can, you know, stop.
You can actually take a break. Yeah. My dad's the same way. He was an entrepreneur. And even now that he's retired from the company he owns, he's still very involved and still can't get out of it. He just can't. It's all he's done for so long. So, I mean, I guess it's better than sitting at home and wasting away, but that's his passion. So I guess, you know, he's doing it, but all right. Number six, when thinking about this coming year, do you anticipate any roadblocks to your success? What do you need to do or plan to get over or avoid these potential roadblocks? Man, oh man, did we find some roadblocks after setting our goals last year that derailed pretty much all of our goals in the best of ways. Like, roadblocks don't have to be a bad thing. They just are going to impact your goals. And when those things happen, you need to take a minute and go, okay, I need to reevaluate my goals. Not just be like, well, they're all screwed and I'm just going to go up about the rest of the year with no goals. Like, no, these goals are not like etched in stone. Like, they're meant to be flexible, but still hold you accountable. So any roadblocks that you anticipate, Ashley?
Just my own personality. It still hasn't changed. And I'm my own worst enemy. I second guess myself. I'm indecisive. I'm worried that it's the right decision. I mean, thankfully, now that I have a support system with Diana and Bethany, I can send them messages and send them pictures, and then they can tell me the truth, and then it makes me feel better.
Because you know we will.
Exactly. But the roadblocks in my life are me, and they always have been.
That's
fair. I read a book called The Get Rich Bitch or something like that. I'm not exactly sure. If you type it in, it'll come up. But she talks about, money blocks and the things that we do as women that basically block our opportunities to get money because of our own insecurities and all the things. And I'm trying to overcome those because I probably would have more money right now and money's not everything, obviously, but
it's accepting that you are deserving of that.
Exactly. I don't want a lot of money, but I do want to help support my family. And I barely do now.
You do in non-monetary ways. So don't devalue that.
Yeah.
But you want to be able to do more in a monetary way.
Yeah, for sure. Especially as, like, you know, like you said, college and university coming up.
Yeah, we don't want to discredit that for sure. I would say for me, my potential roadblocks, and this is kind of just me looking at back at what happened to me this year, potential roadblocks for me, the unforeseeables that I don't know that are going to happen, is more work travel. I traveled more this year in 2023 than I ever have for work. So that was a big adjustment and definitely impacted my productivity. I do know that there is going to be a significant emotional adjustment to Brock moving away to college in 2024. Yeah. I am going to have a really hard time with that. It's going to get real quiet in my house during the days that I'm here working, and he's not here to have lunch with me or make me coffee in the morning or, you know, run errands with me. And that's going to be a huge adjustment. And I'm not sure how I'm going to handle that. So I just am already kind of preparing that that might be a challenge. I know it will be. I also know that, like, working in our new office, so my full-time job is moving to a new office. We did it during December, and we are now going into the office 3 days a week instead of flexible 1 to 2 days before, and before that, no days. So it's been a progressive increase. And so I know that that's going to be a huge impact on, you know, my productivity as well. It's still the same amount of work hours, but there's the commuting back and forth. But going into the office, coming home from that, there's no like time to decompress and it's more exhausting. I also, I'm not able, like when I work from home, I can still like prep dinner or do laundry in the background. Like I can get other things done. So those chores aren't what I have to do when I get home. So
yeah,
that also impacts things. For sure. But I will say this is why it's so important that I go back to that other question of planning out my projects in advance, batch cutting things when I can, and respecting and honoring the time blocks that I give myself to sew and work on the things that I want to do and accomplish. So it's this new year, there's so many things changing in my schedule and in my life that I really am going to have to stay on top of it if I'm going to hit these goals.
And we will.
With your help and support and everybody else's. All right, number 7, how do the people in your life help or hinder your success? Are there any changes you want to make to your social inner circle? Ooh, this one can get spicy. This one is truly like a big one for people. I think a lot of people don't achieve goals because they have people in their life that are telling them they can't do it. Or that they're not going to, that's ridiculous. Yeah. That shouldn't be a goal. You'll never get there. You'll never do that. Like that kind of negativity, we don't have time for that. We don't need that in our lives. But there are people like that in our lives. So those are not the people to share your goals with.
Well, I spent 2023 kind of purging.
Yes.
And that has been good for me. But I only surround myself now with people that are positive, invest in me, and support me. And that's it, you know?
I will say I've done the same this year. Since we answered that question last year, this year I've kind of realized there's people in my life who just don't understand or get what I do. And me trying to share that with them is kind of a waste of my time. It's not that they don't love me or support me. They just don't get it, right? And so their questions or feedback to what I'm sharing can sometimes come off as not supportive or, you know, questioning or make me question what I'm doing. So I've learned that there are just certain people in my life that's just not a topic we talk about. That doesn't mean that they're not good people in my life. Unless they ask, I don't really go, oh, this is what I'm working on or look at what I made. I just don't share that unless they ask. Because I have people like you and Diana and my sewing club members here local that I get to see every month that just keep me, you know, my sewing inner circle's gotten real tight.
Yeah, exactly.
And I have I have my Instagram. I've really gotten good this year at like blocking the haters, man. That is liberating.
I think before we had a support system, you can't help but think like, this is my family. They don't really care about anything I do. Like, and you they can't help but think it. My own family doesn't really care what I do. And it's kind of like, it hurts your feelings, but it's, you know, once you find those people, you mm-hmm. seek out that community, like we talked about in the previous podcast, it almost doesn't even matter anymore. And now you can actually enjoy your family because you just don't hold that over their head anymore because you have your cup is filled over here.
You have to understand that they're not going to get excited about sewing like you do. Just like you may not get excited about the Legos they built as they are, you know, like it goes both ways. Like my son's like, oh, this video game. And I'm like, cool, dude.
Yeah.
Like, no clue. I'm like, but then when I show him, like, look at this dress I made. He's like, that's nice, Mom. I'm like, okay. You know?
Yeah.
So we just have different interests, but he still loves me and I still love him.
Yeah.
But, you know, and he still respects what I do and he gets excited to see what I'm, he does come in and go, what are you working on? But it's, I don't force him to be like, hey, come check out what I'm doing. Like, I let him come to me.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And then I go to him. So, you know, we meet each other where we're at. All right. Number eight. What is the most important thing you need to help you reach your sewing goals? What is something that you need, Ashley, to get to your sewing goals? Me?
Yes.
Why me?
I wrote, Bethany is a motivational staple in my life.
Aww.
And if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't be where I am today. That's for darn sure.
Aww, Ash.
I look at her advice, ideas, inspiration, and encouragement, and she never disappoints. So I appreciate you.
Well, that's really sweet.
Now, who's on yours? No, I'm kidding.
Oh, well, mine's a disappointment. Yes. I put more time and money. I literally wrote that down and then I followed it up with LOL. That is literally what I wrote. And so then, this year has been challenging in my personal life, where I've allowed other people's mental health impact my own in not so great ways. And that's not fair to me because, you know,
you shouldn't have to carry other people's burdens,
but you do when you love people and they're your family, you do. And, but it got to the point where it was impacting my life in so many other ways and impacting my ability to accomplish the things that I set out to do.
Right.
So this year I really do want to put my personal and physical and mental health at the top of my priority list, because even though that's not sewing related, it is. It impacts my sewing because my entire career and what I do for my full-time job and outside my full-time job is around sewing. So if I'm not taking care of myself mentally, physically, emotionally, I'm not going to be able to accomplish these goals. I'm not going to be able to be the friend that Ashley needs to support her either. I'm not going to be able to be the things for other people in the sewing community that I really strive to be. So this year I've realized just the impact that other people that I have around me, and it's not to their fault that they're struggling and you want to be there for them, but it can get to a point where it starts to impact yourself and you have to set those boundaries to respect yourself. And so that's one of my biggest learnings that I've had this year. And one of those things where I'm like, okay, well, I just got to do me.
Yeah.
Got to do me. And if I don't, nothing will get done if I don't take care of myself at the end of the day. Like, it can be debilitating. So, and depression can be very debilitating. So I don't want to get there. I don't want to get stuck. I want to be, you know, I know it happens and there's, you know, things we can do to help with that, but, and we've all, you know, we've all been there. Most people have, but at some point in their life, but I can't let other people's struggles impact me to the point where I can be there for them. But once it crosses that line of impacting me and making me feel like they feel, that's not healthy. So it's one of those that I'm just working through. this mm-hmm. year and trying to decide how that's going to be a part of my life in the new year. I know what I want it to look like, mm-hmm. But I can only control my side of things. So that's for dang sure. Mm. So for me, it's just checking in on myself, you know, mm-hmm. and having friends that are like, you okay right now? You seem off. What's going mm-hmm. on? You know, having Ashley and Diana and some of my other friends go, you okay? you don't seem like your normal chipper self, you know? Ask those questions.
Wow, we're always there to cry. You can cry on our shoulder and this.
I know I'm not a crier, yeah. but it's what I'm saying is I want people to know it's if you see that in your friend, don't mm-hmm. hesitate to ask. And if you're the friend receiving that question, be honest.
Mm-hmm.
Be honest.
We're all going through stuff
because they care. Not because they're going to judge you. They're asking if they're a friend that you can trust. They're asking because they care. Be honest. Don't say, oh, I'm fine.
That's
so. You know what fine stands for, right?
That's so like the theme of all of us is, I'm fine.
I'm fine. I'm fine. I taught Ashley what fine stands for. Do you remember?
No, but I do remember like.
Freaked out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional.
Yeah.
Fine.
I'm fine.
When you say I'm fine, you're one of those four things, if not all of them.
You're convincing yourself. When you say I'm fine, it's like you're telling yourself you're fine.
But are you? Just lying to yourself, right?
Yeah,
sometimes
right.
You really can be fine. So don't, you know, but let's pick a different adjective. mm-hmm. I'm great. Okay. So number 9 is what is one thing about you that keeps you motivated to crush your goals? What is like your biggest motivation to like do all these things, Ashley? Like, you know,
my kids.
Yep.
My kids will always be my motivation. They're the reason why I get up in the morning. They're the mm-hmm. reason why I work mm-hmm. hard to show them that, you know, just because you stay at home,
mm-hmm.
you know, that you can doesn't actually accomplish you something. Goals.
Right.
I still have big plans for the future. Like, I'm hoping that once they grow up, like, mm-hmm. you know, I will be very much needed where I am.
Mm-hmm. You're laying the foundation for what you're going to do when they no longer need mommy every day.
Yeah.
That's what you're doing now.
I don't ever want to stop teaching and sewing and, mm-hmm. and all this stuff. So it's like, I feel like I'm ramping up to what I ultimately want to become, but mm-hmm. I'm doing it in a very slow way so that I can be there for my kids and help them with schoolwork and all that stuff like that. And then once they're gone, then, you know, where's mom? Did she go traveling? Is she with Bethany? Did she go down to Nashville again?
Pretty much. You're leading, by example too, which is great, which is so mm-hmm. great. I put a similar response. I said, you know, for me, it's a combination of being a single mom. Mm-hmm. Having to pay for my son's college.
Yeah.
I do not want my kid to go into debt to go to college. Mm-hmm. And my passion for sewing is like my biggest driver. It's like, I have such a passion for sewing and educating others and inspiring others mm-hmm. and encouraging others to learn and learn new things. It's why I do my full-time job and it pours into what I do outside of my job. But again, just being the provider. I am the provider. It's mm-hmm. just me. So, you know, it's a lot of responsibility. So that's my biggest motivation and why I like burn the candle at both ends a lot of the times.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you know what? I'm investing in my kid because one day he's going to kill it in his career and I'm just going to move in with him and let him pay all the bills for once.
Perfect.
That's my retirement plan.
Yes. And just be like, you have to be really successful because you need a really big house because I'm going to need a pretty awesome sewing studio in your house too.
And a mother-in-law suite. And you don't even have to see me or anything. Just
For sure.
Just give me a place to hide and sew.
Oh, and I don't want to have to pay your mortgage. So
yeah, no, I'm not paying rent. You didn't for like 20 something years.
You know, those celebrities and they're like, oh, I bought my mom a house. Like,
oh, I know.
Hmm. Maybe my children will buy me a house. I mean, I have a house.
Nice.
But I feel like if we help them, maybe they'll help us.
No, I'll just be put in a home. I'm just kidding.
When you're old enough, I'm putting you in a home.
Put me out to pasture. Mm-hmm. All right, last question. And then we'll get to our goals. Number 10, if 2023 had an overall theme, something you want to focus on intently this year, what is one word you describe your theme? What is your word for the year?
I put three last year and I put three this year.
You put a whole list of words last year.
And what'd you put?
Oh, well, last year, my word of the year was balance. I really, and even though we set these before everything changed, it held true. I really had to find a balance between work and pattern drafting school and my goals and podcasts and retreats and clubs. And it's been a year of balance and then balancing being a mom and senior year and
doggy problems.
And dog surgeries and it has been, good Lord, it has been a year.
It has been. If we like actually look back on it, it's like,
geez. I don't feel like it's been a bad year. It's just been a year. It's just been a really full year.
Yeah.
So what's your word? And then I'll tell you mine.
Patience.
Ooh. Mm-hmm. Patience is a good one, but I will say one thing I learned a long time ago is never ask the Lord for patience, because then he will try you and teach you patience.
I've had to learn patience. I'm learning patience with my children. Like this year has been a very heavy learning because my children are coming off of COVID and basically like they're on IEPs. They've been struggling. The school is telling me that it's because, you know, they have problems, but I'm telling you it's because they learned nothing for 2 years and they're very behind. So I've been trying to teach, like, essentially be a teacher. And so it's been a struggle with that, but I'm learning patience.
After they've been at school all day. So, but that's, I think it's patience, but I think it's also grace. Like, give yourself some grace too. It's like, okay, like, this is the season that I'm in and I need to be accepting of that. Mm-hmm. It's just a challenging season. And like I told you this morning, I've been there and it does get easier. And if you do the hard work now, then they'll be able to do the hard work on their own as they get older and they won't, and they'll be able to be more independent. So it's hard now. It's not fun now, but it'll be worth it in the long run for them and for you.
I'm already seeing the benefits. Like we're talking like I did 6 hours of homework with Jack, which is crazy for an evening after school, but it was just because he was so resistant. Mm-hmm. And it turns out that the year before his teacher never made him do his homework. Mm. Just was like, okay, well then you don't have to do it. And so this year, this teacher who's different is like, no, you need to do the homework. And so he's like, I didn't have to do it last year. Because that teacher was a pushover, apparently. But now I'm paying for all of this.
Yeah.
But anyways, it's whatever.
It's hard.
It is. And it'll continue to be hard. But I'm just going to keep going with my patience. Try to parent patiently. Try to be patient with my pattern drafting. Because that obviously takes a long time.
Yeah. My
pattern development. Just don't get so upset with myself if I don't get the deadlines met. Because I got a lot of stuff going on, you know what I mean? Like,
for sure,
it's fine, it's not the end of the world. It's just as long as you keep moving forward and you don't just give up, you know?
Absolutely,
yeah. But I also, another word for me would probably be body positivity, only because like I really didn't want to do this, but I took photos of myself in the skirt that Bethany released. And I love her skirt and it's beautiful, but like, just, I'm like, can someone else put this on? Can someone else? I'll take pictures of you.
It wasn't so much wearing the skirt. It was taking photos of yourself.
Yes, exactly. Right. And I wanted to take pictures of
it. What happened when you took those photos and you posted it? What was the response that you got?
People said words that I've never said. Like, no one has ever describe me as those words.
No one in your circle and no one and not even yourself has used those words with yourself. And those words being beautiful, gorgeous, stunning, It's so flattering.
I was like, what?
So, love the heels. Love the, I mean, seriously. I mean, and you know what though? Like when you may not have loved taking the photos, and that's a new adjustment to see yourself and do that.
Yeah.
What I saw in those photos is someone who felt confident, who knew she looked pretty. Like you knew you looked good in that skirt. It showed on your face. It showed in your like body manner and your, you know, how you carried yourself and your poses. And I'm like, okay, she knows she looks good, and it can't comes off. And when it comes off, that's the response that you're going to get. Mm-hmm. You may not see that, but we see that. Okay. And it's true.
Deep.
So I think we all have our insecurities, but I think the more you take photos of yourself and share your makes that way, you're going to get more comfortable with it. Mm-hmm. And the more you share, not only will you get more comfortable taking the photos and sharing it, but you'll start having that kind of dialogue with yourself and mm-hmm. be more confident.
Exactly. And it's different.
Because the people that are commenting are being sincere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have no reason to not to be. So they're like, this looks fantastic on you. And you know, I'm not going to blow smoke. So I thought it was amazing on you. And I knew it would be because mm-hmm. of your figure and your shape. So, I mean, I'm really proud of you.
I think a lot of people appreciate
mm-hmm.
like, because I am plus size, that like, I appreciate seeing other people who are plus size being able to mm-hmm. wear clothes in a flattering way. And it makes me feel like, oh, maybe I can look like that. You know, well, so it's just weird when it's you, when it's me, like taking, like I'm in the photo, not some, like if I look at another plus size woman, I'm like, wow, she's beautiful. But then when I look at myself, I'm like,
I know.
That's weird.
But what does that also say about the garments that we're making? Is if it can look good on everybody,
mm-hmm.
that's a good garment. That's a good pattern. And I'm not just saying that because it's mine. I'm being honest. Like anytime I see a pattern released by any pattern company and it looks on everybody in the photos, no matter what size and shape they mm-hmm. are, I'm like, mm-hmm. that's a pattern I want to make. Because even if I see it on people whose bodies, shapes and sizes are different than mine, if it looks good on everybody, then it's going to look good on me too.
Mm-hmm.
And the skirt looks good on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. Even the little girls twirling. I freaking love it. So I'm really proud of it. And I know that our patterns, because we are so focused on being size inclusive with our mm-hmm. patterns and just being flattering on everybody, that it just builds confidence for sure for everybody who makes them. So
mm-hmm.
I'm excited for what we're going to make this year. So excited.
Me too.
All right. So for me, my word of the year is, well, last year it was balance. This year it's leap. And not just because it's a leap year.
Oh, man.
I won't forget my word this year because it is a leap year. But I do truly want to leap into new opportunities. I feel like I've spent a lot of 2023 like preparing for big changes, new opportunities, learning, growing. So I'm truly like praying for this like quantum leap into like both my personal and professional life. I have a lot of big changes coming this year. I'm going to be leaping into being an empty nester. I'm going to leap into some hopefully new opportunities with work. I'm going to leap into pattern making and continuing that, you know, path. I want to leap into doing so many things. And mm-hmm. I feel like this year really taught me a lot and the foundation to be able to take on those leaps and not be scared. Mm-hmm. So that's my word.
It's a good word. It's a good word.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. So next, we're going to go over our goals. And I think we just share our 2024 goals.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh,
so
yeah.
So let's start with Ashley. Do you want to go through your five and then I'll do mine?
Okay.
And then we're going to share the podcast goals.
Yeah. You know, the podcast is an entity that now has to have goals because we got plans.
We got plans.
So these goals have to be something that you can measure. They're measurable goals.
Yes.
So
that's a good call out, Ashley. Before you share your goals, there was information that we kind of went over last year that we didn't really talk about this year. But I will include it in our blog post and we'll share a photo of this on social media. But it's called the SMART. It's the tips for setting achievable goals. And the keyword is SMART. Be specific, measurable, achievable, relevant, and time bound. Mm-hmm. If each of your goals hits all five of those, then it's a solid goal and you can start working towards it.
Yeah.
So we'll share more of that on our blog post and in our newsletter and stuff, but just worth mentioning that, you know, there are definitely some tricks to setting goals and you do want to quantify and be very specific. Go ahead, Ashley. Sorry.
Okay. So one would be focus on my YouTube channel more. Mm-hmm. So I do plan on releasing a video once a week, mm-hmm. whether it's a tips video, whether it's a release of a new garment or mm-hmm. reviewing someone else's pattern or just like a vlog. I do want to put a lot of focus on that. I want to try to hit 150,000 subs by the end of 2024, which would be amazing. Mm-hmm. And then maybe hit 10,000 on Instagram too.
Okay.
It might be a tall order, but as long as I'm putting out the content, you know, hopefully it all kind of
organically, I think it's possible.
Yeah, exactly. I also want to release one new sewing pattern a month for my shop, Charmed by Ashley over on Etsy, and then release six new garment patterns in 2024. That's at least. I'm still learning a lot. So the process of developing still takes a while, but I mean, as things go, things should, you know, speed up as, you know, I need to put a workflow kind of in there.
Well, it also like can be impacted by like the difficulty of the pattern. Like,
right.
Maybe you do a challenging one, like this peplum one that you're doing right now. It's got a lot of pieces and a lot of challenges, but then mm-hmm. like your next one may be a more simple pattern. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And you can get that one done faster.
We need a, what do you call a
palette cleanser?
Yes, big time, because this pattern of mine was actually supposed to release
before mine. Yeah.
But figuring it out.
It's not because you're not working on it. It's because you're trying to get it to the point where it works because it is a wrap peplum and people know that. We want to make sure it works for every body type mm-hmm. and that includes full bust. And so you're going the extra mile to make sure it's going to look great on everybody. And that's, mm-hmm. I think, worth mentioning because people don't realize how much work goes into these patterns.
For sure. And like, we haven't put it off to testing yet, but we want to make sure that once we do, like, you know, our plus size models are able to achieve.
Test it. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it looks great on a size 10, but mm-hmm. I want it to look great on a size 30 as well. Mm-hmm. So.
And full bust, small bust.
Those will need to include like full bust adjustments, possibly mm-hmm. stomach adjustments. Like those are things that we're going to need to include in the pattern. So it's.
And it's like, oh, this is
a learning curve.
Top, but it's like, there's a lot that went into making that work for everybody.
Mm-hmm. So, and then my last one would be, I really want to focus on Bianca's learning. So I'm thinking like, maybe I can designate one Sunday a month where we spend a few hours and we either do a project or I teach her a new technique. I really like, she really wants to do it. She's very much like me. She's hands-on, very visual. And, I know that she wants to do what I want to do. I'm not forcing it on her.
Yeah, no. I mean, she had a friend over and y'all did a sewing project together. So you really mm-hmm. want to focus on growing her sewing skills because of the interest she's showing.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And that's good quality time with her mm-hmm. to connect with her on something that you both share an interest in. And that's just really rewarding. And I think you'll get a lot more out of that than you probably realize.
Yeah. And both of my children have entrepreneurial hearts. So I wouldn't be surprised if Bianca joins me mm-hmm. one day.
That's awesome.
Wouldn't be surprised.
Mm-hmm. Those are really good goals.
Yeah.
And I love that they kind of run the gamut. They're not all business focused with your business stuff. They're spread out and it's a good balance of goals. So Incorporates family too, which is awesome.
Okay. So what's yours?
Ooh, okay. So I also put release 6 new garment patterns in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
I put release 6 new YouTube tutorials. So you're doing once a month. I'm doing like...
once a week.
Or you're doing once a week. I'm doing once every 2 months. Because...
well, you're going in the office more.
Huh? I'm going in the office more, but I also do video, like YouTube tutorials for work. I'll be doing YouTube tutorials for the patterns that I'm making as well. So it's like, at the end of the day, it's like, I just don't want to record anything else and edit any more videos. Editing videos is like my least favorite thing to do. And I do a lot of it. So it's hard to motivate myself to do it for my YouTube when I have to do it for so many other things already, but I really do need to do more. And then I did put on here that I want to attend 1 sewing retreat and 2 sewing expos. I really loved going to expos this year. I went to several. So I would like to attend a sewing retreat and 2 expos. Then I do want to grow my YouTube and my Instagram. So my goal is to get to 10,000 subscribers on YouTube by the end of this year. I'm sitting at like 60 something, like 6,800 or something like that.
You can get there for sure.
I can if I actually put out content. I haven't posted anything on my YouTube in like 9 months. So
yeah,
I'm still making money off of it, but it's like, I could be doing so much more. But I also want to hit 10K on my Instagram. And that's because, and some people listening may think, well, those are kind of silly goals. But for what Ashley and I do and promoting our patterns and promoting the podcast, it's kind of important that her and I, both our channels are individually growing as well, because it just helps us grow the podcast. Mm-hmm. It helps us promote our patterns. It helps us build our community for sewing. And so for us, it's a tangible thing that we are working towards. And then the last thing I put on here is make a freaking swimsuit. I just really need to accomplish a swimsuit that looks good on me. I made one, not this past summer, but the summer before. And, it's way too big on me now. Which is a good problem, but it didn't really fit me perfectly to begin with. And it was so last minute, and I only wore it the one time we went to the beach. So I really, really want to make a swimsuit that I can go, I feel really comfortable and confident, and I look good in this swimsuit. And I'm proud of what I made. I was not proud of that black swimsuit. It was so bad.
Oh.
So anyways, that's a goal of mine. And I had to list it as a goal. I know that that's silly, but I had to list it as a goal because I avoided it this summer completely. Mm-hmm. I even bought swimwear. I bought even more swim fabric, and I still avoid. I even cut one out, and I still avoided it. So, And so my goal is to make a swimsuit, hopefully by May, so I can wear it or even sooner. I would like to make it within the first 3 months of this year.
Well, yeah, especially if you end up going somewhere in April.
Yeah, if we could go on a trip.
Yeah.
I can't be at the beach in pants and long sleeves, even though that might be best.
No. I'm turning 40 in March, so it's quickly approaching, and I want to gift myself hanging out with the girls. So
yeah,
we need to get together, me and
girls trip.
Yeah.
And I turn 40 later in 2024 in October. So it's the year of the big 4-0 for Ashley and I.
But it's quickly, like, you just turned 39.
A couple months ago.
Mine's like humming, like a freaking freight train.
I can already taste it. Okay, so our goals for the podcast. We have 4 goals for the podcast. I'll just kind of go through these pretty quickly. Our first one is get monetized on YouTube to help support the cost of running the podcast. We've been paying for the fees to run a podcast out of pocket for a year and a half now. We really love what we do, but reality is we can't keep going without getting some sort of compensation. So our goal this year is to get monetized on YouTube to help cover the monthly expenses, because it does add up, y'all. It's a lot. Running a website, running podcasts, streaming, recording, all of that, it costs money. So I'm just being honest with you. We are like 20 subscribers away from 1,000 on
YouTube.
That's it. We are in the home stretch. That we have the watch hours. We have all the other requirements met to get monetized. We just need 20 more people to go to YouTube, to our channel, and click subscribe. It doesn't cost you anything. Be that person. Help us out. Help us reach that goal at the very beginning of 2024. It would literally make us so happy. And then honestly, it would open up so many more things for us to do with this podcast. You have no idea.
Exactly.
So it's really the best way you can help the podcast is by going and subscribing to our YouTube. You don't ever have to watch our video over there. Just go subscribe. That's all we ask. Okay. Mm-hmm. The next goal is add, 3+ branded sponsorships to help grow the reach of the podcast. So we did a couple of branded sponsorships this year. I would like to do more in 2024. And we're looking at, these are brands that we already work with and know and trust and use their products. So if we're working with them, it's because they are the best of the best at what they do. Mm-hmm. And we want to grow that. And in turn, it helps us grow our reach of the podcast. Mm-hmm. Number 3 is plan and host 1 social hour sewing retreat. That's right, guys. I am still motivated to do a sewing retreat in 2024. So don't worry, but we are going to kind of do it as a through the podcast. So if you're listening, stay tuned for that. Be sure you're subscribed to our newsletter. So go to our website and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can be the first to know when this retreat's going to happen. So you can sign up. Mm-hmm. Last but not least, we're going to build, create, and host 1 sewing course per quarter. So that's 4 courses in 2024. Ashley and I are very passionate about sewing, as you all know, hence the reason why we started this podcast. But you also know that we really do love teaching people to sew. Mm-hmm. We're really good at it. We love sharing tutorials. We love sharing our tips and tricks and different sewing techniques. And so we are going to be working on building some courses in 2024 and then having those on our website for you to sign up for, doing live Zoom classes with you, really building our connection with our listeners in that way and giving back to you all in a way that we can actually elevate everybody's sewing together. So those are our big goals for the social hour. And I'm super pumped.
I think they're all very obtainable.
I think so, too. Mm-hmm. I couldn't agree more.
Perfect.
All right. So, you know, we just went through our goals for the podcast. And one of the first ones I mentioned was how important it is for Ashley and I to really start making money off of our YouTube channel. And mm-hmm. we just need a few more subscribers over on YouTube. So remember that giveaway that I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, and you stay till the end to hear how to enter the giveaway. All you have to do is, well, let me first tell you what the giveaway is. The giveaway is a partnership with Raven. If you don't know who Raven is, we will link her podcast that we did with her in the description. She is an amazing sewist. She's an entrepreneur. She does some amazing clothing and garment sewing, but she started making her own custom pattern weights this year, and they have been so popular and they're so beautiful. I mean, we could all grab a soup can to hold her pattern down, but it's just so much more fun when you can use something pretty to hold your pattern down. Mm-hmm. And she has beautiful resin pattern weights, and they're beautiful colors, and she puts gold flake in them. She does like little mini hangers in them. Like, they're really freaking cute, y'all. And she's giving away a set of 15 mini pattern weights. They come in the cutest little pouch. They're so adorable. They're great. I love the minis because they're great for those smaller pattern pieces like that neck band. Mm-hmm. I don't have a pattern weight that's small enough to fit in that neck band piece. So
I know.
This is perfect. And so mm-hmm. if you would like to win this set of pattern weights from Raven, custom pattern weights from Raven, then all you have to do is you have to go subscribe to our YouTube channel, The Social Hour Podcast. And you have to go subscribe to Raven's YouTube channel as well. That's it. 2 YouTube channels, 2 subscriptions, and we will be choosing one of our subscribers to win the pattern weights. So if you've already subscribed to our YouTube channel, that's great. Go subscribe to Raven's. If you're already subscribed to Raven's, then go subscribe to ours. And mm-hmm. then we will be choosing a new one of our subscribers between the 2 of us will be choosing, and you'll be sent a set of pattern weights. So thank you, Raven, for partnering with us. Thank you for being a guest earlier this year. And we're just so proud of all that you're doing and accomplishing with your new venture of making pattern weights. They're beautiful. So thank you for contributing to this giveaway to our listeners. And listeners, go enter. Go enter now. And all right, so you need to go enter now. You need to go subscribe to our channels now, because this podcast, or this giveaway, I'm sorry, ends January 1st. January 1st. So you need to get your subscription for our YouTube channel and for Raven's in by January 1st. And then we're going to announce the winner right after that. So you have 1 week. If you're listening to the day that this podcast aired, you have 1 week.
Yeah.
Okay. And yeah, we're excited. Thank you, Raven. I'm excited. I love her pattern weights.
They're so cute.
They're so
Can
good.
I enter? Can I go and unsubscribe and then subscribe again?
I mean, you could.
I'm already subscribed to both channels.
I know.
Mine and hers.
I know, me too. And I'm subscribed to yours, and you're subscribed to mine. It's and it doesn't cost you anything to do it.
No.
So, I mean, it just, it's so easy. But we would really appreciate it if you guys would go do that. And hey, you might be winning some pattern weights because of it. So, and we'll share a picture of them too.
Yeah, we will.
So we'll put that in.
Yep.
She sent some pictures actually.
All right.
Well, all right, guys. So I hope you enjoyed this podcast. I hope you wrote down your goals. If you need to go back and listen to those questions to help you figure out what your goals need to be, that is totally fine. If you need help or have questions about the specifics of how to set goals, please go to our website and look at our blog post, where we have more information on tips and tricks for setting goals specifically around sewing. And then, you know, we would love, you know, Ashley and I got a little vulnerable today and shared our goals. We would love to know what your goals are. So if you feel so inspired, we'd love for you to go comment over on our YouTube channel to this podcast, where we have this podcast, and you can comment to that video and let us know what your sewing goals are. Sharing is how you hold yourself accountable. And so putting it out there for others to know and share is the best way that you can hold yourself accountable. So let us know what your sewing goals are. Maybe it'll inspire Ashley and I on what courses we're going to offer this year so that we can help you get there and meet your goals. So, all right, guys. Happy 2023. It's come to an end. We hope you had a very Merry Christmas, and we hope you have a blessed new year, and we'll see you again in 2024.
Oh my God. Bye guys.
Bye.